It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, November 10th. I'm Patricia Naft. Election Day was last week, but not everything is finished. KVNF's Jake Ryan has the story.
With many races being called across the state, it may look like the elections are over, but that's not quite the case. Palisade, for example, is looking at a vote that's extraordinarily close. This is Amanda Hilgenfeld, the director for the Mesa County Elections Department.
At the last count, there is a 4-ballot difference in that race, and that could, you know, swing either which way. It could get further apart or opposite, and that will be determined. Probably, we're hoping to have the rest of those ballots in by the 13th, so we should have a firmer number by the 13th, depending on how many people return their affidavit for the letter we sent them.
That affidavit she's talking about has to do with the voter's signature. Some of the ballots weren't signed on the envelope, or the signatures didn't look quite right, so her office sent out letters to check in with the voters. They have until the 12th to get them returned. Amanda says they're also waiting on military ballots to get mailed back. Dessa Lockman is the co-owner of Colorado Alternative Healthcare, a medical marijuana dispensary.
Palisades is a very diverse and interesting town, and almost all the subjects like this that are controversial, it is almost split 50-50 down the whole way.
With 20-plus votes still out there, the decision could go either way. Lockman's not discouraged by the rejection of the same issue in Paonia and Ouray. She thinks it's only a matter of time.
So I do think with, D.C. and Oregon, Alaska approving it, and I do think seeing the revenue come through Denver this year, you know, I think within 2 years, you know, we'll put it on the ballot again. I would assume that Paonia and Ouray would want to do the same. And I think by that point, people would have a better idea and image as to how this exactly works and operates. And our highway traffic fatalities are down. Teen usage is down. I mean, until we have more of those stats come through and we can continue to diminish the reefer madness propaganda that's been over cannabis for so long, you know, then more of the tides will change. So I think it's really just a matter of time, especially with 3 more states passing recreational. It doesn't keep us into such a unique category.
The final results will be released on the 13th. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
As part of our Capital Conversation series, Benta Berkland talks to State House reporters about the new political dynamics in Colorado, what it could mean for the governor's final term in office, and the upcoming legislative session.
Joining us, we have Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press and Peter Marcus with the Durango Herald. Looking ahead, talk about what we could see next session and what we could see in a second term for Governor John Hickenlooper. He hasn't outlined a lot of policy specifics.
One of the things that we will see almost immediately next year is a debate over settling these disputes between homeowners and energy companies when it comes to fracking. The governor also talked briefly when he gave his victory speech that he wants to continue to focus on the economy with an emphasis on figuring out how to make it easier for new high school graduates, new college graduates to get jobs, and also to address this problem of people who have been unemployed for a year or so. So we could see some of that, but we'll know more details here in the next few weeks and coming months.
And that's true what Ivan's talking about, but I'm sure that the governor is looking very closely at what's going on with the legislative races. Looks like Democrats are going to hold on to the House by at least one seat. Senate, though, remains in limbo. If the governor is faced with 2 chambers controlled by Democrats, that definitely is going to impact the sort of legislating that they do around energy issues, especially with this task force meeting. If it's split, who knows what's going to end up getting to the governor's desk regarding energy policy and a host of other issues.
However, this is a governor who has really prided himself as describing himself as someone who is a collaborator, bringing both sides to the middle and having discussions. He's not running again for re-election. This will give him a chance to kind of put, you know, his money where his mouth is. If he does end up with a split control of the legislature, we'll get to see whether, in fact, he is able to continue to broker these details that he prides himself on.
Nationally, a big election night for Republicans, and also in Colorado when they unseated Democratic Senator Mark Udall. Peter, we're hearing local Democrats say, no, actually, it wasn't that great for the GOP. We didn't lose everything, and we retained the governorship.
Democrats are clearly trying to temper moods about this election. They're going to say that Colorado is immune to this Republican wave that took over the nation. But it's going to be hard for them to really hold to that, because even if they do maintain control of the legislature, it's going to be by a razor-thin majority, which means that they lost seats. Yeah, they won the governor's race, but, you know, it was too close, quite frankly, for what Hickenlooper would have liked to have seen. They lost the U.S. Senate out here. You know, it's going to be really hard for them to sell that the so-called Republican wave that swept the nation didn't actually land on Colorado.
And, I mean, one other thing to note, I think in the U.S. Senate race, it was a lot easier for Republicans to tie the incumbent Mark Udall to a very unpopular president in President Obama. And it was a lot harder, although they tried, to tie Hickenlooper to Obama. And also, historically, Colorado doesn't boot governors who are incumbents. The last time that they did not reelect an incumbent governor was 1962. So in some ways, Hickenlooper also had history on his side.
Thanks. That was Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press and Peter Marcus with the Durango Herald. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
There's been some resolution over the issues with dispatch fees in Montrose County. As we've reported, the county provides 911 dispatch for cities and towns across the county and in some other counties. The issue is that the subscription fees that these cities and towns pay has skyrocketed. It's costing hundreds of thousands of dollars more than it did a few years ago. In these tight times and tighter budgets, it was going to mean deep cuts. This is City of Montrose Mayor Bob Nicholson.
All of us had to kind of go back and look at our budgets and figure out what we could do and where we were and shake the tree again. And that process for both governments, the county and the city, is many months worth of work. And it's probably at the heart of what a government does, is to take a hard look at their budget and project into the future. And it's difficult because everybody figure out how to spend more. It's hard to figure out how to spend less. And we did. That's good. And so did the county. That's also good. And that allowed this agreement to take place.
Thanks to the Sheriff's Department adjusting their fees and the county adjusting their budget, the City of Montrose, as well as other in-county towns, will have next year's fees cut almost in half. And finally, after years of looking, the Telluride Hospital District has chosen a location for their new medical center. It will be in Mountain Village. It considered several locations, including spots in Lawson Hill and Telluride. Up next, Go Betty and the Monday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.